Marley. Gosh dang it. Hey, welcome to Bethel. How about put your hands together for our worship team, for Darren and all of the bunch. Yeah, no doubt. So welcome, man. So glad you're here. It's exciting. It's always good. It's always fun to come. Hey, baby. You look cute in them corduroy britches this morning. I'm just saying, okay? So welcome, man. Glad you're here. Glad you chose to come and worship with us at Bethel this morning. So we're in our series. Our fall series has been entitled The Bethel Orchard. We've been talking about how God has called you and I to be fruit producers, to produce fruit that would glorify God the Father in every day of our life. And so today we're going to venture off into, we have held off today, we're going to venture off into Galatians chapter 5. We're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to talk about how you and I should be producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so I'll read this passage to you. You can look it up on your phone, in your Bible, Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read verse 22 through 25, and then we'll pray, and we'll see what the Lord would say to us today. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25. Galatians 5, 22 through 25, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." Bow your heads and let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for today. Thank you for everyone that's in this place. Thank you for this place where we can come and worship, where we can worship you, where we can hear your word. Lord, I pray today that you would anoint me to speak your message. I pray you would open our ears and our hearts to receive, not just hear, but to receive your word. Challenge us today, God. Challenge us about walking and living in the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, so if you read those fruit of the Spirit, there's nine different fruit. There's nine of them. And so we're going to break them up into groups of three. We're going to do three of those, the first three today, the first three next Sunday, and the following three the Sunday after that. And so when you talk about three, you talk about threes, three, the number three in the Scripture, it represents completeness. It represents completeness. And so you can look at that and you can see the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three parts, one. It's complete God. It's everything they are. You can look at the 3 days in the tomb. Jesus was in the tomb 3 days. It was complete. It was paid for. He rose from the dead. There's three temptations of Jesus when the enemy came to Jesus, tempted him three times, overcame that. Jesus prayed three times in the garden. You can go on and on and on. Three equals completeness. So we're going to break the fruit of the Spirit up into three parts. We're going to break it up today. We're going to talk about love, joy, and peace. When you think about love, joy, and peace, it is the mindset of the Christ follower. How many of you know the battle is in our mind? Can I hear a good amen? We don't battle against flesh and blood, but we get battle against principalities and powers and rulers and wickedness in heavenly places. Our battle is a spiritual battle, and if we can keep our mind straight, everything else will follow our mind, because as a man thinks, so is he. So today we're going to talk about our mind, how our minds need to live in love, joy, and peace. Next week, we're going to talk about patience, kindness, and goodness. Patience, kindness, and goodness, it applies to our social life, to our relationships. We are not of this world. We live in this world, but we're born again. We're born of the Spirit. But as long as we live in this world, we have a social life. We interact with other cowboys. We interact with other people that we work with. We interact with people. We have relationships with our spouse and with our children. And if we're going to have good relationships, how many of you know, you have to learn to have some patience. Come on, somebody. Patience and kindness and goodness. And then the following week, we'll talk about faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is the character that you and I should walk out as Christians. How many know when we're born again, we should not walk out the character of this world, but we should walk out the character of God. We should show the world what it's like to be faithful, what it's like to be gentle, and how to have some self-control and say no to the things of this world, but say yes to the things of God. So it's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. So come back next Sunday. But here's the deal. Today we're going to talk about the first group, love, joy, and peace. Let me ask you a quick question. How many of you when you were a kid, maybe I'm showing my age, I don't know. How many of you when you were a kid, your mother or your grandmother or somebody said to you, when you bought a package of candy or when you bought some chips, read the ingredients on this product, and whichever ingredient is at the first of the list, there is more of that in this product than anything else. Come on, somebody. Can I hear a good amen? Like nowadays, it's sugar. There's more sugar in everything. Like you read the ingredients list and you go, wow, there's more sugar. Wow, there's more corn syrup. There's this. So I think we can apply the same thing to the fruit of the Spirit. If you and I are going to live out the will of God and we're going to live out with the Spirit of God living inside of us, we can look and we can go, the number one thing, the most important thing in the life of a Christ follower is this: love. Love. Everybody say love. Love, love, that's the number one thing. Love is the supreme ethic of Christianity. You and I are Christians because of the love of God. You and I are Christians because God the Father loved us, and while we were yet sinners, when we were living in the pig pen, God loved us, and he sent his only begotten Son to die on a cross to redeem us and to pick us up out of the miry clay, set our feet on the rock to stay. It is the love of God is why you and I are where we are today. And we must never forget the power of love. Love is the expression of our faith. If you are here today and I'm here and we say we believe in Christ and we say that we're born again, love is the expression of our faith. That's what Paul says, Galatians 5:6. Galatians 5:6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything but faith working through love. Love is the expression of our faith. You can't say you have faith in Jesus Christ and not love God and not love others. You can't. I can't. We can't do that. There's this moment in Scripture, and I love it. It's one of my favorite moments in Scripture. When the greatest man ever, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, comes and he lives on this earth. He's faced with this moment when this lawyer comes to him and says to him, what are the greatest commandments of all of them? If you know anything about the Old Testament and you know anything about the Old Covenant, there are 613 laws that you had to obey under the Old Covenant. And so this lawyer comes to Jesus and says, of those 613 laws, what is the most important one? And let's see what Jesus' answer is. Mark 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 29 through 31. And Jesus answered, the most important commandment of all is this: hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and all of your strength. And the second greatest commandment is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these two. The greatest man in history was asked the question of what is the greatest command, and he said this: love God and love others. Can I tell you what would change our world that we live in? When you and I start loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I'm going to be honest with you, I've been pastor for almost 24 years, and we love God with about half our strength. Come on, somebody. We love God when it's good. We love God when it's convenient. Can I tell you this? To love God is not just to say that you love God, but it is to obey the commandments that God has for you and I. If we want to see revival and we want to see God change and we want to see God move and we want to see the miraculous, you and I have to love God enough to say, I'm going to follow your commandments and I'm going to be obedient to your word, God. And then you know what we got to do? You and I, as the church, as the born-again believers, we got to learn to love other people. And we suck at loving the other people that we come to church with sometimes. Come on, somebody. Not only do we have to love the people that we come to church with, let's look around, look around, look around, look around, look around, look in this church, look, 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 look. Some of you are hard to love. Come on, somebody. We got to love the people inside of here, but you know what else we got to do? Look at me. We got to love the people that are not at church this morning. We got to love the people that don't believe the way that we believe. We got to love the people that have chosen alternative lifestyles. We got to love the people that vote different than we do. We got to love the people that believe different than we do. Because you know what's going to win people to the bloodstained cross of Jesus Christ? It's not yours and my self-righteousness, and it's not our judgment upon the world for not being perfect. When we love them the way Christ loved us, it will draw all people to this cross of Calvary. Love. We got to love. Love. It's a game changer, love. You say, Cody, okay, I get it. I get it, I get it, I get it, it's love. But Cody, I suck at loving other people. And I would say, yep, I know that. I've recognized that in you. And I would say that, you know what? Me too. But you know what God did for you and I? Because he knew we would struggle with love. He knew we would struggle with unconditional, agape-type love. Here's what God did. God knew we would struggle at it as well, but he set us up for success. How many of you know that's what our God does? God does not set you and I up for failure. God does not try to take us and knock us down. God does everything within his power to set us up to be successful in life and to glorify him. Some of you need to know that. Some of you need to know God is not against you. God is for you. God has set you up. God has greater plans for you than you have for yourself. Quit having a whiny hiney. Quit having a pitiful attitude and know that God is good. And before you were in your mother's womb, God knew you and he formed you and he has set you up to be successful in life. Here's what God did for us that struggle with loving others. Romans 5:5 says this, and hope does not put us to shame. Watch this, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God's love, God's unconditional love, and while we were yet sinners, Christ loved us and God sent his Son. The love of God has been poured into your heart and into my heart so that we can love others with that same love. It's nothing you did, it's what I did. It's the benefit of salvation when we are saved and when we are born again. The Holy Spirit comes and it pours out the love of God in our hearts. Can I tell you, if there's hate in your heart, if there's anger in your heart, if there's bitterness in your heart, if there's unforgiveness in your heart, it's because you have chosen that position. You need to go back and surrender and let the Holy Spirit fill your heart up with love, because out of our heart flow the issues of life. God has set us up to love others. Love. Everybody shout love. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. The Bible says love drives out all fear. The Bible says these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is? The Bible says love conquers all. The Bible says God is love. We must take on the mindset of love. And it's a game changer. It's up to you. It's your choice. Your choice. Your choice. Your choice. Choose. Choose love, choose love, choose love, choose love. I love, I love, I love, I love because God loved me. 1 John 4:19 says, we can love others because God first loved us. I'm moving on, I'm moving on, I'm moving on. We can love others. You say others are hard to love, and I can say this, they're not nearly as hard to love as you are. And God loved us, and since God loved us, we can love others. Shout love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Like, I stinking love to preach about joy. Some of you, I just would like to take a video of some of you sourpuss looking suckers right now. You have no joy. Like, joy. Fortune, I see you over there. Grouchy, some Ricky Snowden, I see you smiling. Billy Lamb, you sucker, smile back there. Come on. Like joy. The second ingredient to the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Joy, just a little bit of joy. It's not real spiritual. It's not real intellectual, but it is the second ingredient in the fruit of the Spirit. And I believe with all of my heart, we need more joy in this world. More joy in our marriages. More joy in the relationship with our children. We need more joy in church. We need joy everywhere. You say, Cody, you don't understand what I'm going through. I just can't have joy right now. And I say, no, I don't know what you're going through, but I love what the prophet Habakkuk said. Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18, this prophet of God, Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18, he said, even though the fig tree's not going to blossom, nor there's going to be any fruit on the vine, and the produce of the olives, they fail. There's no flocks. They're cut off from the fold. There's no herd in the stalls. Nothing is going right for Habakkuk. But Habakkuk says in verse 18, he says, yet I will rejoice in the God and the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk said, no matter what's going on in this world, I understand that the things of this world are temporary. And in this moment, the enemy wants to get me to lose my joy. And in this moment, the enemy wants me to choose depression. But he said, in this moment, I am going to rejoice in the God of my salvation, because the God of my salvation is an eternal God. Habakkuk chose joy. It will change your life and my life if we'll choose joy. And I get it. That's easier said than done. But I'm telling you, here's what the Word of God says. How many know, more than my opinion, it's what the Word of God says. And how many you know, when times are tough, that's when we need strength. Nehemiah 8:10 says this. Then he said to me, go your way. Eat the fat, drink your wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to the Lord. Watch this. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Like, I get it. But like, you need strength? You need strength? You need strength right now? Choose joy. Choose to rejoice in this day, and God will strengthen you. It's a promise of His Word. Choose joy. Like, I love joy, man. Like, in the pastorate, what I do, like, this is the fun part Sunday morning, preaching to you Peckerwoods. It's fun, man. But, like, throughout the week, I deal with hospital visits, and I deal with death, and I deal with cancer, and I deal with struggles and divorce, like I'm not grapping, I'm just telling you. And so here's the attitude that I've taken. People say to me all the time, when you go to the hospital and somebody's been diagnosed with cancer, like, how do you know what to say? And I'm like, I don't know what to say. People say to me, when you meet with a family and they have a funeral and someone that they love has died, what do you say? What do you do? And I go, I don't know. But my style and my attitude is this. When I go to the hospital, it's already doom and gloom and grief enough. I'm just going to do what I can to cause somebody to laugh a little bit and to cause somebody to smile and bring that back a memory, because I really believe that the joy of the Lord is our strength. I do funerals. I do tons and tons of funerals. And when I do a funeral, you know what I try to do in the middle of a funeral? Tell a story that would make somebody laugh. Bring just a little bit of joy, because I really believe the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I understand you've been through worse than what I've been through. And I understand you're struggling right now. But don't let the enemy win the battle. And don't let him bring grief, because grief will bring you down. Choose to have the joy of the Lord, because we have hope in Christ Jesus. And it will strengthen you, and it will strengthen me. Proverbs 17:22. Let me give you this scripture. Proverbs 17:22. A joyful heart is good medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries the bone. Joyful heart. Joyful, joyful. It's good medicine. Can I tell you the very definition of the word medicine? The very definition of the word medicine says this: anything that is used in treating a disease or an illness. And I'm good with you getting a prescription sometimes. I'm good with me getting a prescription to help us through depression and dark times. I'm good with all that. But the Word of God is true. And the Word of God says a joyful heart is good medicine, and joy will help us to treat an illness or the sickness that we're facing in our lives. Joy is a mindset. I get it, it's hard. I get it, it's hard. I get it, it's hard. Psalm 118:24. I love what the psalmist said. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm here another day. I'm breathing one more time. I get to see the goodness of God one more day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let me choose joy and be glad in it. Joy will change your life. Love, joy, and last thing we'll talk about today is peace. How many of you know? We definitely need more peace of mind in the world we live in today. It is so easy to lose our peace. It is so easy to focus on this and focus on that and to enter into worry and anxiety and stress and struggles and problems and darkness, and we absolutely lose our peace. The opposite of peace is chaos, and God never intended for our minds, our marriages, and our families to be in a place of chaos. There is a place that you and I can go that is a supernatural place. There is a place that you and I can enter into. It is a miraculous place, and it is a place called the peace of God, where we don't worry about anything because we totally trust our Heavenly Father. We need it. Look at your neighbor right quick. Say, hey, neighbor, you need to live in the peace of God. We need that, we need that, we need that. And so here's what you know. You know what? You know what some of you already saying in your mind? Cody, you just don't understand. I'm a warrior. I just can't help it. My mind goes fast all the time. I'm worrying about this. I'm worrying about that. My mama was a warrior. My daddy was a warrior. I'm just a warrior. I'm always this. You know what I would say to that? Well, you know what? I know that. I can see that on your face today. And guess what? I struggle with worry sometimes as well. But you know what God did? God set you and I up for success so that we could live a life of peace while we're on this earth down here. He set us up for success. Here's what the Word of God says. John 14, 27. Jesus left his home in glory, came and took upon flesh, lived on this earth. John 14, 27. Here's what Jesus said. Peace I leave with you. My peace, Jesus said, I give to you, Horn. My peace I give to you, Shaney. My peace I give to you, Ryan. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, Dory. My peace. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let yourself be afraid. Jesus gave his peace to you and I. Do you understand what kind of peace Jesus had? Come on, if anybody could have had the whiny honey, it might have been Jesus. Come on, y'all. He's like, Dad, Father, I left glory in heaven, and I came upon this earth, and I did not sin for 3 years, Dad. It was a struggle. I lived my life all according to the Word of God and to your will, and yet in the end, I had to be arrested, accused, crucified, and I had to be murdered on an old cross. But Jesus said, you know what? I got enough peace to say, my Father is a good, good Father. And if I have to go and be arrested and to be crucified and hung on a cross and I have to be mistreated, you know what? Let it be so, because it's not about me. It's about you, Father, and I have enough peace to know that God is going to make all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Jesus had enough peace to release control and say, I am living in your hands, Father. You and I want peace. We got to release control. You can't figure it out. Come on, somebody. Your plans are my plans. They're not God's plans. God's ways are higher than our ways, and we have to release control and go, I'm in peace, because you are in control. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. May the Lord be with you. We have the peace of God and peace with God. Let me just say that right quick. There's two different kinds. We have peace with God and the peace of God. And some of you, we need to understand that. Because if we're born again believers, we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, we have peace with God. That means we have a relationship with God. How many of you grew up like me thinking God was a mean God, an angry God, a gray-headed God, and he was waiting on me to screw up or say a cuss word, and he was going to throw down a lightning bolt and disintegrate me and send me to hell forever? That's what I thought. That's the way I was raised. But by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says we can come boldly to the throne of God. And because of what Jesus did, we now have a relationship with God. And we can talk to God like father and like sons and daughters. Some of you need to know that. Some of you need to know that God loves you. And by the blood of Jesus, he wants to have a relationship with you. So we have peace with God, but then we have the peace of God as well. I can go through this earth and live in peace and not lose my mind and live in chaos. Let me give you one more thing and then we'll be done. Peace. There is a difference in a peacekeeper and a peacemaker. I'll talk to you about that. You know what a peacekeeper does? You ever heard anybody say, I'm just going to keep peace in my family. Come on, somebody. Here, Thanksgiving and Christmas. I'm just going to keep peace. I'm just going to keep the peace. You know what I mean? God never said be peacekeepers. God said, blessed are the peacemakers. And some of you need to hear this. You can't be a butthole. I'm not giving you permission to be a butthole, but I am giving you permission to not make peace, to not keep peace, but to make peace. And some of you are living in unrest, and some of you are living with no peace, and you're doing it in the spirit of meekness, and I'm just not going to say anything. Because you know what? You know what peacekeepers do? They absorb everything. They sit quietly. They don't have an opinion. They ignore problems. They remain neutral so that they can just keep the peace. God never wanted us to keep the peace. He wanted us to make peace. And to make peace, in order to make peace, sometimes you have to speak your mind, you have to speak the truth, and you have to be willing to overturn the apple cart. Come on, somebody. Because real peace comes only by the truth of the Word of God and nothing else. And here's the deal. In order to have true peace, are you listening to me? Can I hear you say a good amen? In order to have true peace, there must always have been a war and a battle first. You can't just say, I have peace. There has to be, like, our country, we can live in our country with our borders. We can live in our country with our laws. We can have peace in our country. But before we can have peace in the United States of America, there had to be a war with our founding fathers to fight off England and to stand for what was true. That's why we have peace today, because somebody fought a war and fought a battle for you and I in this country. And you know what? Before you and I can have peace in our mind and peace in our marriage and peace with our children and peace with our spiritual eternity, there had to be somebody that fought a war, and Jesus went to battle for you and I, and he fought a war that we didn't have to fight, and he fought against darkness, and he fought against the devil, and Jesus came out victorious, and he gave us our peace. And the reason we have peace today is because there was a war previously. And some of you look at me, and I'm done. I'm quitting after this. Some of you, you are never going to live in the peace that passes all understanding until you are willing to stand up and stand for the true word of Almighty God. You have to do it in love, and you have to do it in joy, but we got to stand, and there has to be a battle in our minds and a battle in our lives if we're going to live in true peace. Darren, come help me close this thing, right, please, sir. To live in true peace is to live with a mindset of this: I will stand and I will live in the truth, and I will totally surrender control to God because I totally trust him and I realize that his ways are higher than my ways. We're not in control. The bottom line is this. If we're going to produce the fruit of the Spirit, let's bow our heads, would you? If we're going to produce the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace, it's a battle in our minds. And if we're going to do that, we have to be filled with the Spirit of God. We can't be filled with a spirit of anger. We can't be filled with a spirit of pride. We can't be filled with the spirit of the Cochran's or the spirit of Bethel. If we're going to produce the fruit of the Spirit, real love, real joy, real peace, we have to be filled with the Spirit of God. And that requires you and I to totally surrender and give up our thoughts, to give up our anger, to give up our frustrations, to give up our pains and our hurts, and just go in the moment of surrender, fill me with your spirit. And in that moment, God pours out his love into our hearts. And in that moment, Christ gives us his peace. In that moment, we have joy unspeakable. 3 things that we talked about today, they're total mindset. The battle is in your mind and the battle is in my mind. Love is the greatest. Love is the greatest. Love is the greatest. Love conquers all. God is love. To live with a heart of hate is a miserable life. And there's many of us that live with a heart of hate and a heart of anger and a heart of unforgiveness and a heart of pain. It's not where God wants you to be. Heart of love. Heart of love is a game changer. Joy is our strength. Can I give you the most simple marriage counseling ever? Have fun together. Have joy together. I get it. He's an idiot. I get it. She's not meeting your needs, but somehow find this place where you can enjoy one another. He ain't perfect and she ain't perfect, and it's never going to be like you see on TV or read in the books. Just have fun together. Enjoy one another. Enjoy one another spiritually. Enjoy one another physically. It changes things. Have fun with your kids. Their room is never going to be clean as you want it to be. They're never going to do their chores like you think they should. Enjoy them. Have joy. Joy brings strength. It strengthens relationships. Have fun with God, man. God is serious and God is powerful, but he wants us to have fun and interact with him and laugh. Love and joy and peace, man. God, Jesus died on the cross and he showed us how to have ultimate peace. And God does not want you living in chaos. Because if you're chaotic in your mind and you're chaotic in your heart, everything in the rest of your life is going to be chaotic. It's a game changer. So Holy Spirit, we love you. We thank you for today and this moment and everyone that's here. Speak to us. We want to be fruit producers. We want to produce the fruit of the Spirit that's a game changer. So speak to us, every one of us in this place. Don't let us leave here unchanged today. Change our hearts and our minds as we close in worship in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, stand up on your feet. Let's close with worship.
everything.